This is Greg Lancaster, and I trust that you enjoy this teaching from God's Word, equipping the saints to do the work of the church to bring God's kingdom here on earth. Enjoy. Hello, VFM family. Today we're going to be finishing up the last part of our teaching on the sin nature and the law of the Spirit. Had this been an awesome teaching, we're really just becoming alive and understanding about the things of God and the goodness of God and what He's done for us through His Son and what Jesus did for us on the cross. My faith and my trust is in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We want to start off by reading again in Romans chapter 7, or Romans chapter 8, verse 1, to put us back on track again here. That's Romans chapter 8, verse 1 through 5. He says, therefore, there is now no condemnation, say no, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit, and that's what we're talking about, the law of the Spirit set me free from the law of sin and death, for what the law was powerless to do, and that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so He condemned sin in sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit, the law of the Spirit. What's the law of the Spirit say? He says, just believe in my Son. Believe that I've accomplished this work. Believe that their sin nature has been taken care of and been dealt with. Believe that you're in right standing with me. Believe that my Holy Spirit is released in your life and beginning to do a work in your life that I have planned for you before the foundations of the earth. Amen? Praise God. Well, we just came out of our last week's teaching, you know, talking about, you know, that sometimes we get stuck in a place and because our fleshly works begin to get stirred up in our sin nature, and it's not till we discover, we do not recover, is what I talked about, until we rediscover what we're talking about all along. It's the goodness of God on the cross. So I want to encourage you, why have to rediscover it? Why not just stay at the foot of the cross? Why not just stay there, just trusting and depending on? You know, the definition of humility is total dependency on God and respect for other people. Just depend on God. God wants to meet us there. When we talked about David and his face was on the threshing floor and he was crying out to God. And he said, right there is where I want to tabernacle with you. Right there where you know that you're in desperate need of me, but I'll meet you right there and I'll meet your needs. Amen? Amen. And we talked about also that our faith, you know, it's the only thing that counts. The last Galatians 5, chapter 6, we said that for in Christ Jesus, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. That's the only thing that counts. And then we talked about how, you know, Jesus was tempted in every way, yet without sin. He was tempted not to do the Father's will. He wasn't tempted to steal or he wasn't tempted in adultery. He was just tempted not to do what the Father asked him, but he didn't do it. Remember, he even prayed in the garden, Father, take this cup from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Amen? Praise God. And so dealing with the sin nature, as we've been talking about in this series, that one aspect of that sin nature or flesh, our strength and our abilities, is self-righteousness. Where all of a sudden we try to make ourselves right, or God gets us right because of what He did on the cross, but all of a sudden now we try to keep ourselves right. You know, and the way we keep ourselves right is to stay at the foot of the cross and we trust in what God has done, but we will be there sometimes, and sometimes all of a sudden we'll start making little rules and little laws and stuff, and next thing you know, we're trying to keep ourselves right. And there's no power in that. Remember the Holy Spirit we talked about just kind of lets us go with that. You know, we're at work, God's at rest. But when we're at rest, God's at work. Amen. So self-righteousness is something we got to watch out for, trying to make ourselves right. Good works, you know, maybe somebody says, you know, if I do a whole bunch of this for God, or if I give all my money to the poor, if I go out and throw myself, surrender myself to the flames, if I go start 15 or 16 churches, if I go to VFN China, or I go to VFN Israel, or if I go from house to house preaching the gospel, whatever it may be, they start talking about what they're doing to please, to earn something, to make themselves right in God, instead of understanding we're working from a place of rightness. We're already made right in God. And so it's just, you know, I love God. God loves me, therefore I'm successful, and we're all working from a place of success. Another is another works mentality is the confession principle. You know, somebody says, you know what you got to do? You got to look in the Bible and you find some scripture in there that relates to what God says about that thing you're struggling with. And I want you to confess that scripture over that whole sin over and over and over again. Well, you're just going to be frustrated, and eventually it's not going to work because you're not depending on what Jesus accomplished on the cross. And then you have this whole religious experience that ended with failure. And saying, you say, you know what? Yeah, I want to memorize scripture. I want to hold scripture in my heart, but I'm not doing it to earn something. I'm not doing it to be righteous. I'm doing it because I love God and I want to be able to offer the members of my body to righteousness, not to the sin nature. I'm not doing it to be right. I'm already right in God. It's good, isn't it? That's a good word. So think about this. If it was about memorizing scripture, if that made you right, to be a Pharisee, you actually had to have all scripture memorized at that time. All the word of God, the Pentateuch, all, you had to have it memorized before you could be a Pharisee. Okay, that didn't work, did it? Because when the word walked up and became flesh and looked them spear in the eye, Jesus, they called him what? They called him Satan. Think about it. And not only that, even though they had all the scripture memorized, they put the scripture on the cross. They nailed Jesus to the cross. So we're not going to get righteous. He says, you search the scriptures because in them you think you find eternal life. And he says, no, the scriptures only cause you to turn to me. They cause you to look at me. They cause you to see the goodness of me, he's saying. They bear witness of him. So the scripture, we want the word of God all in our heart. We want to abide and eat and taste and see the Lord is good. But we're trusting in what? Jesus Christ is the source and the cross as the means. Amen. Another work of the flesh is willpower. You know, some people believe that the Lord gives believers some supernatural willpower to just say no to sin. They're like, I'm really pumped up now. No! Just say no. They used to have a drug program in America, and it was all about just say no. Just say no. And there's actually some things being taught in the church where people think, just say no. And so people trust in their ability, thinking, God, why aren't you giving me more of a supernatural no ability? Because I'm trying to say no, but I keep on saying yes. Paul talks about in Romans chapter 7. Well, you're trusting in your ability to manage sin in your life instead of going to the cross and saying, you know what? I'm saying yes to Jesus. I'm saying yes, he paid the price. I'm saying yes, it was fully met. My sin nature is dealt with there. And I know. I'm confident to know this. The Holy Spirit is working out in me what God wants to be worked to me in Jesus' name. My trust is in him and him alone. Amen. So willpower is another work of the flesh. And the last one I want to talk about, you can go on for days. This is some important ones too, is relationships. Some people think, if I just get me an accountability partner, if I just get in the right church family, if I get in the right spiritual family, if I get all hooked up in there, you still got to deal with you. If you're on an island all by yourself, you still got to deal with you. And you'll never win with you alone. You'll never win when you're trying to get somebody else to deal with you. But if you will take you to the cross, if you'll take your sin nature to the cross and you'll do what I'm teaching you in this series about the sin nature and the law of the Spirit, let me tell you something. That sin nature will go dormant again. It'll be ineffective. And guess what? The power of the Holy Spirit will cause you to live a victorious life, an abundant life. Amen? Amen. Praise God. So faith in us, faith in what God is doing, we talked about that in the earlier teachings, that it doesn't mean we don't obey God, but God empowers us by the Holy Spirit to actually obey him where we couldn't before. But faith actually produces works. Remember, faith without works is dead. But it doesn't come works and then faith. The very fact that I believe God, the very fact that I'm focused on the cross and what Jesus has done on my life, the Holy Spirit begins to work in me, and the Holy Spirit compels me to begin to have fruit in my life and things that happen in my life. I want to do right. I want to do good. I want to avoid darkness. I want to separate myself from the world. Why? Because God's working that inside of me. Amen? Amen. Well, he says in Romans 12:1, he says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. So what I'm doing when I'm obeying God, when I'm focusing and offering my bodies as a living sacrifice, when I could go this way with it, which is a way of darkness, I say, no, I am not. I'm going to go this way with it and allow the Holy Spirit to empower me to go that way with me. I'm literally worshiping God. This is my spiritual act of worship. It's the law of the Spirit. And the law of the Spirit, what? Puts to death the law of the sin nature. Amen? Praise God. So we're worshiping God. We're not earning something in God. We're not, you know, I got this much under my belt. I got that much under my belt. Well, let me tell you something. You're strapped down by your belts, because the only thing that will get you somewhere is what God has already done on the cross. It's accepting His finished work on the cross. Amen? Next, I want to talk about Philippians chapter 3. This is very important. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, is about suffering. You know, quite often, as we talked about in the context of Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 and 16, where Jesus was tempted in every way, you know, we talked about that's actually being tempted not to do the Father's will. Well, suffering, you know, a lot of people think, well, I need to suffer to be able to earn something in God. Philippians 3, Paul talks about it, chapter 10. He says, I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of sharing in His suffering, becoming like Him in His death. Well, he's not saying, you know, I want to suffer, because if he was suffering and earning something with that, then he's saying, you know what? I'm adding my agonizing struggle to what Jesus did, because what Jesus did wasn't enough. He just wants to kind of feel what Jesus felt. He wants to empathize with Jesus, who empathized with us. He's not earning something. You know, we're not earning things in God. We're literally just going through and we're understanding Him more. Everything that we go through helps us and unveils Jesus more. And he says, I just want to have fellowship. I want to know you, Christ, and the power of your resurrection. First of all, he's saying here, I want to be able to know more and understand more about the revelation of what you did on the cross for me. And that's what we're talking about. I just want to know more, God. Reveal more. The awesomeness of what you did for us on the cross and your love for us. And you dealt with sin once and for all. I want to know more about that. Secondly, he says, I want to have fellowship and sharing with your suffering. What he wants to do, he wants to, what Paul is talking about, from my understanding, what he's talking about, he's saying, you know, I want to literally begin to understand what your suffering produced in my life, what your suffering produced for me. I want to fellowship. When you think about a war, they have what they call embedded journalists. You know, they're not soldiers, but they actually put them in the war and they give them cameras, they give them mics, and they talk to the soldiers, and they're like, they're embedded. They're not soldiers, but they're there. And they're able to connect and help people relate to what war's like and what the soldier's day-to-day life is like. And when you think about it, when he's talking about to know you in the fellowship of your suffering, he wants to be almost like an embedded journalist, if you would. You know, he's talking, we're like saying, God, I want to be able to empathize. I want to understand, not for me to earn something. I just want to feel. You know what I'm saying? I want to feel you, Lord. I want to understand that. I want to know what I actually gained from your suffering. What benefits that came in my life because you were willing to go through that for me. And I'm just excited. So I always want to focus on you, Jesus, and what it's all about. And then he says, I want to become like him. And what that is, remember we talked about that, as we behold him and the glory reflects off of us, we get transformed into the image and the likeness of God. God, I want to know you more. I want to know you in the fellowship of your suffering. What benefits? Lord, you suffered so much. Help me to understand that and to know that even to a greater level and a greater measure. Lord, I want to be with those that declare your glory in the end day, when the revelation, when they're crying out, holy, 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 worthy, worthy, worthy. Lord, I want to know. And that's what he's talking about. Paul's not talking about, I'm going to earn something by what he suffers. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the source and the cross is the means. Amen. Praise God. So here's another question. Well, they're sinning. Are they saved? Well, that's a good question. Everybody is not saved. And not only that, in Galatians chapter 4, Galatians chapter 5, verse 4, he tells us that someone actually can fall from grace. They can fall from grace. Galatians chapter 5, verse 4, he says, you who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. Think about that. When we begin to seek our own righteousness, when we begin to do things our way, when God says, this is what I want you to do, and we just turn away, we say, I want to do, you know, that's dangerous territory. That's dangerous territory. But an unbeliever, a believer who loves God and loses their focus on Christ and the cross, and their faith has been realigned to something or someone else, they may manifest sin in their personal life. It doesn't mean that they're not saved, but they're not necessarily sinless either. It doesn't mean they're not saved. They are saved because of their faith in Jesus Christ and the cross. But understand it, that the Holy Spirit just kind of let them kind of go through that for a while. So you'll see some situations happen in people's life. You think, my goodness, that looks so terrible. But you know, they come out of it on fire for God because they realize, I gave myself over. I didn't realize I was going my own way, but God showed me that I was going my own way. So what is the difference between a believer who sins and a non-believer? It's pretty simple. You know, a believer hates that he or she has sinned and eventually becomes miserable in their sin because it's no longer a part of them. Remember, they're a new creation. Old things are passed away. They no longer belong in the pigsty. Eventually they go, you know what? This is just not me. 1 John chapter 3, verse 9 lets us know that they cannot continue in sin. Somebody who's truly a believer cannot continue in their sin. He says this in 1 John chapter 3, verse 9. He says, no one who is born of God will continue to sin. No one. No one who is born of God will continue to sin because God's seed remains in him. He cannot go on sinning because he has what? Been born of God. So God in them will cause them to eventually say, I can't take it anymore. This is not me. This is not who I am anymore. I don't know what happened to me. And you'll see that believer can't continue in that sin and come back. But I'll tell you this, they'll come back, but they'll more likely have scars. They'll limp. They'll have wounds that'll probably be for the rest of their life. I mean, you don't come back scarless, you know, but literally they will come back because they themselves, you know, he says, Paul says, turn them over the world so that their soul may be saved. And so literally, the world just has a field day on that believer and have a very, very rough life, and they come back. And so, first of all, I want to say that no one who is born of God will continue to sin because God's seed remains in them. He cannot go on sinning because he's been born of God. What does that mean? Well, the non-believer is not only not upset, well, the only reason he would be or she would be upset about a sin situation is their call, or if they're personally harmed or something negative happens to their life that affects them. They're not upset that they sinned. They're upset that they're in jail. They're upset that some negative things happen to them. The believer looks for ways not to sin. That's what a believer does, including abiding relationships with the Lord, fellowshipping regularly with other believers, submitting themselves to church leadership, enjoying the teachings of truth of God's word, even when the word is a word of correction. They are not ashamed or hurt if they sin, but they quickly deal with it at the cross. They realize, okay, I'm sorry, and it's dealt with at the cross. But the non-believer not only likes to sin, but they actually look for ways to sin. They're constantly, they might not be doing it around you because they're trying to give an impression that they're saved or they're right, but they're constantly thinking about, I'm going to sin. And he or she, they enjoy the sin. They're not ashamed of their sin. They avoid fellowship with believers. It just really makes them very uncomfortable to be in places of worship when truth is being talked about. It just really just dampers them down majorly because it's totally against their sin nature. They won't submit themselves to church leadership. They are repulsed by the teaching of the truth of God and God's word, and they avoid it at every occasion that they can. They don't want to hear the word of God teach. Taught. It's foolishness to those who are perishing. So there's a difference. There's a total difference in the word of God. Well, I want to close with this. This has been an awesome teaching. We've learned so much. I want to close with a simple formula. I would like to come up with another word for it, but I can't really come up with a word for it. But you can look at these four components. When you measure these four components, you can kind of see where you end up. Because if you follow this in one way, you end up living a victorious life. If you follow it in another way, you have a defeated life. So I want to talk about four things regarding our sin nature and victory over the problems that come because of it. I want to talk about our focus. I want to talk about the object of our faith. I want to talk about the power source. And I want to talk about the results. The first one is this is victory, that our focus needs to be according to John 14:6. He says in John 14:6 that our focus needs to be on the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so our focus then is on the only way, which is Jesus Christ. I'm telling you this because you have to understand what we're talking about here. If you've been looking at people because of their sin nature and their failures and their mistakes, but yet you're seeing God do things in their life, you're not focusing on Christ and Him crucified. You're totally missing it. You know, they may be at different levels of different things going on, but God's already dealt with that already. God's doing things. He's doing His will. He's working His will out. So I want you to understand that it's time to refocus yourself on walking victoriously yourself in an abundant life for God. And so you do that victoriously by what I'm talking about, these four different areas. So the focus for victorious walking in God in this abundant life is to focus on Jesus Christ, as He said in John 14:6. He is the way, He's the truth, He's the life. The second part is the object. Remember, we have to have our faith on the right thing. The object of our faith, which is what? The cross of Christ. In Romans chapter 6, verse 3 through 5, He says, or don't you know that all of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into His death? We were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life, we talked about. And if we have been united with Him in His death, we will certainly also be united with Him in His resurrection. So what happens? Our focus is Jesus, right? Our focus is Jesus. The object of our faith is what? The cross of Jesus Christ. We're looking at Jesus. We're focusing on the cross. We're looking at Jesus. We're focusing on His finished work on the cross. And the next thing is the source, the power of our source, which is the Holy Spirit, remember? The power of God. Romans 8, 1 through 1 and 2, and in verse 11, we'll talk about it. He says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. Verse 11, therefore, and if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in me, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit, not through your works, through the Spirit who what? Lives in you. So the focus is Jesus. The object of our faith is what? What Jesus accomplished on the cross. The source, the power source, what? It's God's Spirit. It's not us. It's not our strength. It's not our energy. It's God's Spirit. And what is the result? The results are victory. Victory over our sin nature. Romans 6:14 says, For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Then the life I live in the body, I live by faith. Remember that? I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. You see, it's just real simple. My focus is what? Well, I'm going to look at my focus. Let's go one more time. My focus is Jesus Christ. He's the way. John 14:6. My object that I'm going to put my faith in is Jesus' finished work on the cross, which is Romans 6:3-5. The power, the source, it is not me. It's Romans 8:1-2 and 11, which is the Holy Spirit's power working me, the Spirit of God working inside of me. And what is the result? It's victory in my life. Romans 6:14 and Galatians 2:20. Now let's flip that. Let's flip that and see what it looks like when we flip it, because the end of that one's victory, but the end of this one is failure. Okay, our focus. What is our focus? Our focus then would be on our works, right? Be the opposite instead of Jesus. It would be on our self-righteousness. Romans 4:2. If in fact Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. Okay, that's our focus, is our works. The object of our faith is performance, right? Okay, if I'm trying to do something with my works, I'm measuring myself by my performance. How well am I doing? Am I doing good, right? Galatians 2:21. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. It's not looking good, is it? Okay, the third is what? The power of the source. Well, it had to be self, right? It would be the self, Galatians 5:2. Mark my word, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Results? Failure. Galatians 5:4. You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen. Think about that. You have fallen away from grace. So what is your source? What is your focus? Think about it. Simple formula, four things. Focus should be Jesus. The object of your faith is the cross, right? Jesus is the source. The cross is the means. The power is the Holy Spirit. And the success is the Holy Spirit working through you. Boom, victory over your sin nature. And you probably already know the other one. We'll never hit that again, right? So the conclusion is this, and I want to close with this. Due to the fall of man, this is wrapping everything up. Due to the fall of man was born with a sin nature. This refers to a bent towards wrongdoing or sin. Listen, the sin nature totally and completely controls everyone who is an unbeliever in every way, no matter what they say it does. When a believing sinner comes to Christ, the sin nature is then made absolutely dormant. If the believer, however, makes something other than the cross of Christ the object of his or her faith, failure is the result. The resurrection, if you would, of the sin nature that was dormant becomes active, and the sin nature begins to rule their life unless they put their faith back in what Jesus has done. The only way to victory, and I'm speaking of perpetual, continual, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, June, January, for all the months of the year, perpetual victory over the sin nature is for believers to turn his or her faith totally and completely to Christ and his finished work on the cross, every bit of it. And maintaining this faith daily, picking up your cross daily, focusing on what he did. It's a finished work daily. And if the believer does this, the Holy Spirit will work mightily in his or her heart and life of that believer, bringing about righteousness, holiness, Christ-likeness, and fruit of the Spirit. And I want to end with this, and don't ever forget, Jesus Christ is the source. The cross is the means. And that's the only way to live in a victorious life from the sin nature by the law of the Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for the finished work. We thank you. We're excited. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb who has purchased me. I'm no longer my own. I've been bought with a price. You're no longer your own. You have been bought with a price. And the price has been paid on the cross. It's time to begin to live a victorious life. In Jesus' name, amen.
For more teachings like this from myself, Greg Lancaster, and others, go to VFNTV.com. You can also download the VFNTV app by searching your mobile phone app store or by going to VFNTV.com. And you'll be able to join us at VFNTV and the daily VFN radio program where we're seeking to educate ourselves on what is taking place in today's world, to illuminate it with God's perspective from his word, and inspire you in your daily walk with the Lord and to activate you in your destiny with God that he's called you to. For more information, go to VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the daily VFN radio program is brought to you by our partners of Greg Lancaster Ministries at greglancasterministries.org.